Why? What's interesting is that we mentioned Mechaber before Mavir, so that's why we're going to do that first. I don't know if we're going to get up to Mavir. So the Rambam switches the order, Kedarko. Okay, so the main issue we're going to talk about today is the Gram Kiboy and then Grama in general. So there's a Machlokas and a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph about indirectly putting out a fire. According to Chachamim, if there's a fire, we should note that we're talking here about a fire where there is no danger to life. That's probably impossible or extremely unlikely nowadays. Nowadays, usually if your house is, you know, something's burning in your house, there's the possibility of it spreading. Even if people could leave the house, it could spread to another house. So these halachos, I guess if you could put out the fire in this manner without fear of danger, then you should, though oftentimes in a practical sense, due to sakana or suffix sakana, you're going to put out the fire regularly. But anyway, in theory, though, if there's certainly no danger, so then can you do it al-day gramma? So according to Chachamim, you can make a mechitza b'chol ha-kelim, whether they're malayim or reikanim, so that the fire doesn't spread. So you put vessels around the fire full of water, and in that way, when the fire reaches the vessels, the water will put out the vessels. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't do it b'kli charis malayim mayim, because they are going to put out the fire. We pass them like the Rabbanan. And the Gemara says, why is it that there's no Isser by Grama? The Gemara's Lashon is, Lo sasa kam lacha, asiyahu da asar Grama shari. Shari sounds like it's mutter. From the Gemara, there's no particular evidence that we're talking about a heter that's only true b'makom hefzid. We will see, though, there might be a remez to that in a Gemara, and this is indeed debated in Rishonim, which we'll get to shortly. But certainly, Makom Hefzid, we paskin that it's mutter. There's another case in the Gemara that seems to be related. We have to figure out that case. We'll go back to the first one in a minute, but the other case in the Gemara is Talashachas Baha'or, Poshto Miskasa Baveino Choshesh. So what is the heter over there? And the Gemara over there says that's even mutter, according to the Manda Amar Grama's Aser. So why is that mutter? So if you look at the Tor, in Shin La Medalit, it's Sif Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, he says that seems to be mutter because it's Davar Shena Miskavim. The Tor's Lashon of the Tal Shachos Baha'or, Poshto Miskaseh Ba, Meno Choshishim Techabe. Why? Kevin She'eno Mechavim Lekach. Fine. So the question, of course, is what do you mean? It's why am I putting on a talus on fire? Presumably that it should go out. I mean, maybe in the Sefer Torah Shachas Baor, you could say, okay, you just happen to wanting to learn. So l'chora, what you see here is that the Torah thinks that this is a different heter. In other words, it's not the heter of Grama. This is some other heter. The question is, and when we're dealing with Grama, you don't need Eino Mechavim. Right, when you put the barrels around the fire, you're certainly mechaving for kiboy. So this is a different heter. So, but still, you know, how could it be? So first of all, I guess presumably it's darvar shenu miskaving means it's not a psik resha. But the Beis Yosef points out that all the other Rishonim disagree with the Tor, and they say that this is mutter even when you are mechaving. You're allowed to put on this talus, you know, when it's on fire. So why is it mutter? Is it really grama? So at first it does sound like the Beis Yosef thinks it's grama, but at the continuation sounds like he doesn't necessarily think that way. And the reason is, first of all, because is it really grama? I mean, putting on the talus that's on fire, is that grama? But if it is, then why does he need these additional kulas? And certainly also why did the Torah need? No, the Torah also didn't seem to think that this is grama. That's why the Torah said they had to establish on miskaved.
It sounds like I'm not being a mixture of...
A mixture of susar. So that's very good, Zach. So that's sort of what the Beis Yosef says. The Beis Yosef says, well, it's makom hefzid, and you don't look like you're mechavim mechabos, even if you might be, because you look... just opening up the sefer to learn. Plus, it's not certain to work. It's not vadai. Plus, it's klachar yad. So I think what Zach's sort of suggesting is, well, we throw all these things together, and therefore we're going to be makil based off of that. Now, this might be the first basis to suggest that this is a cool, we're dealing here at least with kulas b'makom hefsed. First of all, the basis, he writes that explicitly, he writes, in other words, this is an exception to the rule. Makom seida, they were matir, this type of thing. Conceivably, you could say that just like this kula, whatever the kula is exactly, is b'makom hefsed, so too the other kula is also makom hefsed. Again, that's not, doesn't happen to be the position that the Beis Yosef takes. But the Beis Yosef says, at least this kula is, even the Beis Yosef says, this kula is only about Tirmak and Hafzeid. And they're like, how do we paskin on this? If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Lamed Gimel Sifcha Gimel, he brings two deos. Talas Shachas Baha'or, Poshtim Iskasa Bat Einu Choshishim Techabe, the Yesh Mishomer, Shachach Shalai Iskab Lachach. So the Yesh Omer is the tour, but the Stam Dea is Lakula, even if you are Mechavein. The Taz says something very interesting. The Taz says it can't be that even the tour, the second day in the Shulchan Aruch meant really you're not mechaven, because like of course you're mechaven. Why else are you putting on this talish achaz b'ha'or? So he says it's not mechaven in the sense that you're not mechaven to extinguish. You're just mechaven. You're not mechaven to put out the fire. You're mechaven to prevent it from going weiter. So it's not quite grama. You're just intending for it not to continue, right? Shelo tidlak yoser. V'im ira shali deza nechba ha'or lagamre eno choshesh. So this is already a very interesting distinction. Is there a difference between preventing the continuation of the burning versus active extinguishing? And this idea might be relevant to another very interesting question, which we'll hopefully also get back to a little later. There's a discussion about turning off the gas in your fire. Like on Yantif, it would be more relevant. Is that mutter aser, is that kibbutz or not? Anyway, in discussing this question, Rav Moshe has a line in the tshuva where he says, oh, and I have another kula, which I can't write here, can't write down. So the Velt says that the other kula that he didn't want to write down is the following. Rav Moshe felt that when you turn off the gas, that's not kibbutz. What are you doing? You are just preventing more fuel from entering. The way your gas stove works is that there's a pipe which provides gas, right? Pipes and gas. When you turn up your stove, more gas enters. When you lower it, less gas enters. When you turn it off, it's like a faucet. No gas enters. That doesn't put out any fire. You prevent the gas from entering, and the fire will then go out on its own. So it's not like the kibbutz that's asar on yantif, let's say, l'kulei alma, at least unless it's l'tzarech ochel nefesh, is when you douse a fire with water, you've actively put it out, or you remove fuel. But when you remove fuel, there's wood that's burning in the fire, you take it out. Here, you're not taking out fuel from the fire, you're preventing more fuel from entering the fire, the place of fire. So the Taz is already making a similar type of distinction over here. And that's a point that we'll return to. And again, a lot of these grammar shilas are going to be very technical. How do you look at what's actually happening? The Magen Avraham also disagrees with the Beis Yosef. It's not entirely clear what he says, what he means, but the way the Mishnah Berurah reads it is the pshat is that no, you're going ahead, and when you put what the tour means when he says lo yachavin is you can't, when putting on the talis, like run all over the place, yikfots bina nea atzmo ana va'ana kadeshi yachabe, rather, or she ina nea talis kadeshi yachabe, dechol zeh halo osa maisa kibbutz mamish, the lav gram kibbutz. So according to the Magen Avraham's understanding, the tour does think that the heter here is grama. When he says lo yachavein, it means you can't like do it in such a way where it's not grama, like shake up the talus. You just have to put the burning talus on, and then if it goes out, it goes out. Fine. So this brings us to the gader of grama. Yeah. We don't accept that. That's correct. Not even clear how much Rav Moshe accepted it. I remember, but it might be a sniff. It's something that we keep in our back pocket. I remember once Rabbi Simon was asked the Shaila, and he said, "Plus, where does Rav Moshe?" So he relied on Rav Moshe Ali de Amir Lenachri, I think was the case, which yeah, I guess Amir Lenachri on his own wouldn't have been, but so it's something we keep in mind. So it's certainly correct. We would not turn off a stove on Yantif. We would treat that as kibbutz, and you should only lower your flame on Yantif in the event that it's necessary for the food. But it's, you know, in certain cases, it's an idea that we might keep in our back pocket. It certainly is a sniff.
Is there any difference between when you turn down the stove, so like you see an immediate difference in the flame, mm-hmm. whereas let's say like some like gas grills are connected to a in-gas pipeline. If you turn off the gas, you don't see...
There's still immediate. It's just that there's a residual... I wouldn't think that's a difference. In other words, the only reason why the fire doesn't disappear in a second is if there's some residual like fat that it's burning, you know, from your barbecue or the like. So the fire doesn't go out right away. But remember, again, removing fuels also keep away. And we'll see in a moment. That's going to be our next discussion. Even if there's no immediate at all, that might be. But let's get to that question right now. So we'll talk about that question now. So to address that question, we have to look at another sugya. There's Gemara Beitza, Chaf Beis Med Aleph. It says that if you're mistapek from Shemen Shebener, you're chayev mishum mechav. At least if you hold the Inser Gufa, you're chayev. But the point is, it's an Inser device. It's not a grama shayla when you're mistapek b'shemen shebener. Why? So the question is, why isn't that ground kibbutz? Now, does that go ahead? I have a fire burning on Yantif and or Shabbos. Let's see, and I want some salad dressing from the olive. No other olive oil for my salad dressing. I take some olive oil out of my candle. So that is kibbutz, not ground kibbutz, but kibbutz. So l'chora asks the Rishonim, that contradicts this idea. That should be Gram Kibbutz, and Gram is Mutter. Because it's true, you're going to cause the fire to go out earlier when I take out some of that oil from my candle. So instead of burning an hour, it's going to burn a half hour. So that should be Gram Kibbutz. That should be very similar to the case of the surrounding the fire with barrels. It should be Mutter, certainly not Chayav. So Tosos gives one answer. Tosos says, you're right. In theory, that would be Grama. But the problem is that when you start taking out oil from the candle, it's going to shake. It's going to not be a steady process. And therefore, actually, there will be an immediate result. If there was no result for a half hour, nothing changed, then taka would be ground kibbutz. But, you're probably going to, it's very hard to siphon off oil from a lit candle without causing the candle to flicker, without momentarily causing a reduction of the fire. And that's the yeser.
I thought he was saying something a little different. I thought he was saying that when you remove oil from the candle, the flame actually gets small, even if you did it perfectly, even if you did it precisely.
But why would it get... Well, I'll bring you a raya, I think, because Tosa says, therefore, when it comes to a wax candle...
You cut off the bottom.
Right. So you're saying, let's see, so...
Yeah, I thought it was just like a Matthias thing. By oil... Mm-hmm.
There's more.
Sometimes the Hanukkah candle, like at the end, the flame gets very small.
So if you're right in that explanation, let's look at the Lashon of Tosfos. But if you're right, so then it would come out that
the lo yachol in gurei kol ha'ag yikashavin nu over there.
What's the Lashon say?
Lo yachol in gurei kol ha'ag yikashavin nu over there. Ulekach nira can keep one. The nira also double
clear. What's the first Lashon? Lo yachol.
Like it's every
minute. Yeah. Right. So that's what I'm stopping the minute. It's at the moment.
From that moment on, right?
No. Oh, you said, yeah, go ahead. Okay, sorry. So. Right.
I didn't hear that, the reason.
We're mesupik about. I'm not even sure if there's so much of a nafkamina, because either way, Tosus is saying that the point is that the candle got there's a immediate reduction in the size of the fire. Point of Tosus is that because just at the moment that you're taking it out, that's going to happen, or is it because their fire, the size of the fire is affected by the amount of oil in the nair. So by taking it out, you're going to cause it to be less. But either way, the point is that there is a, you're causing an immediate reduction in the size of the fire, and that is going to be keepable. Okay. So therefore, Tosa says, but if that wouldn't happen, for example, you have a wax candle and you cut off the bottom of the candle. So there's a problem with cutting off the bottom of the candle. That might be tikkun kli. So you avoid tikkun kli. You use another fire to burn off the bottom of the candle. But basically, you cut a lit candle in half. Even though now it's going to burn in half hour instead of an hour, that is an isser, that's heter. Or it's certainly no worse than any other grama, whether that's mutter or not. Tosus actually sounds like, we'll get back to that point, that it would be asur midrabbanan on Shabbos and maybe mutter on Yontif. But it would be begadir grama, is the point. So causing something to burn for a shorter period of time is grama, that shitas Tosus. The Rosh over here also base and Beitzah, Simon Yud Zayin, disagrees. And he says, I have a raya that this is wrong, because it says in the Mishnah on Shabbos, Chavtas and Beis, Yikov Adam Shofer Shal Beitzah V'malena Shemen V'tnana Al Pi Haner V'shvil Shetim Inat Tafes. Why? Because we're afraid you're going to be mistopic from the Shemen Shebe Beitzah. So you have oil in a reservoir, and you're going to remove that oil. Now, if you do that, according to Tosus, it's basically not aser. It's grama.
So why is it mutar if it's kli echad, which is the Mishnah says?
No. No, because then nobody's going to think that it's mutar. So you're not going to come to do kiwe deraisa. But a person's going to think that it's okay to take water from the reservoir, and therefore it's aser. But what's wrong with it, according to Tosus? Nothing wrong with it. So therefore, you see, says the Rosh, Tosus is wrong. It must be that taking oil from the reservoir is wrong. People will incorrectly think it's okay, but it's actually wrong. But why is it wrong? Isn't that just grama? So the Rosh says, oh, I'll tell you what, because that's not grama. Why isn't that grama? So here's not very entirely clear what the Rosh is saying. What's the getter? But what the Rosh is certainly saying is that anytime you, even if there is no immediate impact, but you're causing it to go out earlier, that's not necessarily grama. That could be kiboy biadai. Unlike Tosus. Tosus would think that's ram kiboy at worst. And the Rosh is saying, no, that's kiboy biadai. If you, for example, take out the bottom, you cut the candle in half, the wax candle in half, according to Tosus, grama at worst, leaving aside the tikkun kli issue, according to the Rosh, that's kiboy biadai. Why is that kiboy biyadai, according to the Rosh? It's delayed. So he seems to be saying, and we'll see there's somewhat of a debate between Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham exactly how to read Tosfos, exactly how to read the Rosh, but seems to be saying that since it's all part of one system, then even though because what? Because the oil, the wick, the fire, that's all part of one system. So when you remove from that system, namely, you siphon off some of the oil, even if it's residual oil. So that is via diet. That's not like the case of putting the barrels around the fire. Putting barrels around the fire, you're acting upon something that's outside of the system. But the fire isn't here yet, and you're putting barrels around the fire in a different place. You're not acting on the system. So it's true in both cases. You're just causing it to go out earlier than it would have otherwise gone out. And therefore, according to Tosus, it's the same thing. They're both grama. According to the Rosh, no. When you act upon the system, then that isn't grama. That's kibui biadayim, and therefore it's much more chamor. That's the view of the Rosh. There is, by the way, I think, a third answer to this question that I thought I saw in the Yireim. Fascinating view. The Yireim writes that a tolda of kibui is mistapeg me shaman shebiner. That's chiyuv. In other words, it might be grama, but it's grama that's chayev. So you can, putting around, you know, putting the kelim around the fire, that's mutter, or that's grama, that's mutter. So there's a type of grama that's aser de oraisa because it's a tolda. That's the view of the Iranian.
Wouldn't it be al Iranian lahavi raya?
Yeah, the stira, that's the raya. In other words, if you think that what we have here is stira, the kasha of Tosis and the Rosh, and you don't like either answer for obvious reasons, so there's your source.
But then how do I know that there's a kula of grama that if the Torah was machayev a kibui v'derech grama by?
Why couldn't you extrapolate from the tolda that all grama is mutter? Is chayev, right?
Or at least by kibui.
Yeah, all gram kibui is chayev, and the fact from the tolda. Yeah. I answer is that apparently, the Iran doesn't explain, but I would imagine that the answer is that the dimyon to mistapek is not a good enough dimyon. In other words, mistapek mishemen shebiner is the tolda. It's not, let's say, put it differently. It's not the pshat that it's gram kibui that's chayev. There's a tolda. The av is blowing out the fire. The tolda is mistapek mishemen shebiner. So it's not the pshat that there's a grama that's chayev. The pshat is that this isn't grama, because that's the tolda. Since we know grama is mutter, and we also know mistapek min hashem and shebiner is chayev, just
Zohar reads. Meaning Zohar is grama.
That's a great example. In other words, if there was another type of Zohar, grama in Zohar, not the standard way of doing it, where you throw out the wheat and the chaff and the wind blows it, but let some other grama in Zohar. You use the timer to do Zohar. Or whatever.
So that would be totally.
So that would be, that might be mutter or pater.
Oh, I mean, that's totally in the
correct. Yeah. So, but I don't. So that's the Ram saying. The Ram saying that we have a tolda. The av is kibui mamish. Grama is mistabu shabinari. We're not saying grama is chayef. We just have a tolda. Okay. I didn't see anyone that brought up this Yirei. So that's certainly not lalacha. The two commonly quoted views are Tosos and the Rush. And if we look. This question is addressed in Tafkuf Yodalit Sif Gimel, Hilchos Yantif. So the Torah writes something like this. Torah writes that it's mutter to put a candle, like a wax candle, like let's say putting it into sand, such that now it'll go off on Yantif, so it'll go off, last much shorter. You'll save half of your candle. So the basis is this. How can you say that? That's against the Rosh. Because according to the Rosh, this shouldn't be grama because you're touching the nair itself. In other words, the way the Beis Yosef seems to have understood the Rush is that since when the sand is touching the candle, so you're touching the fuel, and therefore it's equivalent to the case of siphoning off the fuel. And therefore, according to the Rush, it would be aser. This would be equivalent to cutting the candle in half. And therefore, he's very perplexed that the Torah would say this. And he says, actually, you're right. If you follow the Rush, and the Beis Yosef thinks we're paskin like this Rush, it's only mutter to put the candle in the sand before it's lit, which would be grama, obviously, or not even grama, but not after it's lit. So if we look at the Shulchan Aruch over there, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that psak says you can put the candle in the sand before you light the candle, but not after you light the candle. The Magen Avraham disagrees with the Havana of the Beis Yosef, Das Harash. And he says, no, putting it in a candle in the sand would be grama. When does the Rush say it's aser slash chayev when you're removing the fuel? It doesn't matter that it's touching it. The sand is still chutzala, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And the Magen Avraham Havana of the Rosh is more along the lines of what we were saying before in terms of being part of one system. The Ramah says, well, this question is irrelevant because we pass them like Tosfos. And therefore, basically, we have three opinions. We have the Machaber who passes like the Rosh, and moreover, his Havana of the Rosh, which is that it's not going to be grama anytime you're touching the source of fuel. And then as opposed to like the barrels around the fire where it's separated by a gap, he looks at Nagia as being the central factor in terms of determining whether this is Gram or Biadayim. There's the Magen Avraham, who says, no, it's only going to be Biadayim if you touch, if you remove the fuel, but not if you have something outside of the fuel, even if it's not touching the fuel. And then we have the Ramah, who says, regardless, we pass them like Tosfos. So, for example, are you allowed to cut the candle in half? Again, assuming you avoid any problems of Tikkun Kli, cut the candle that's lit, according to Ramat Mutter, according to the Mechaber, passing like the Rash, it's Aser.
But we advise can like the Ramah? Or
Zach says, of course, we pass like the Ramah, we're Ashkenazim. However, the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sivkan Chaf Gimel, says, well, Kama Achron and Kasu do not from the Hach Merkadeh, Rishon Nasha Aser B'Zach. So, the Mishnah Berurah sounds like maybe Mikra didn't, we do accept the Tosfos, but it's Nachon Lahachmir. So that's all we've got. Simon Tuf Kuf Yadalid, Sif Gimel. Yes.
I was wondering if I could suggest, I don't know if any of the, this is a legitimate possible reading of the Rosh, but maybe one could say that we regard that the entire reservoir of fuel is on fire. I mean, the flame is one part of it, but the whole reservoir is on fire. So,
right. Yeah, that could be a way of reading the Rosh, a way of looking at the Rosh.
Then it's not Groma then, at that point.
That's his point. That's exactly what the Rosh is saying. Yeah, could be. Now, we're going to see one more sugya, but we could already sense that this type of question, this type of machlokas, will be very relevant for a lot of Groma questions. Let's just think of one of the classical Groma questions that comes up. Is adjusting a timer. Adjusting a timer could be done in two ways, generally speaking, to make malach happen earlier or to delay malach from happening later. Yeah, your air conditioning is going to go off at 2 p.m. and you want to adjust the timer such that it goes off at 3 p.m. Now, depending on how the timer works, first of all, you might have muksa issues. There happens to be an ancillary machlokas here between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach about muksa, which we're not going to get into because it's muksa shaila. But Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that once you're allowed to adjust the timer, then at worst it's a klish malach to lisser, maybe even a klish malach to heter, like the peg. And Rav Moshe thinks regardless it's muksa. So it's interesting muksa shaila. Moshe also thinks it's usher to adjust the timer, but he said even if it's in the case where it'd be mutter to adjust the timer, like you're preventing malacha from happening whatsoever, the light's going to go on, it's off now, and you're just preventing it from going off, there's still a mux issue, even though there's no grama issue whatsoever over there. And Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks even it's either klishmach leser tzarchufo, or he even thinks it's a klishmach leheter. But we're not going to get into that. Some timers don't lend themselves to adjustment on Shabbos anyway, but let's say you have a timer that you can, there are no other ancillary issues. So adjusting a timer again could be done in two ways. One is you, like I said, you delay malacha from happening, like it's going to go off at 2 and now you make it off at 3. And one is that you make it happen earlier. It's going to go on at 3 and you want to go on at 2. So how do you look at those types of adjustments? Certainly, if we were to follow the view of Tosfos, it would seem that at worst, that's going to be grama, and maybe even nothing. Causing it to happen earlier would be grama. Causing it to happen later shouldn't even be grama. And if you were to follow the view of the base Yosef Bidas HaRash, probably it would not be grama.
Why wouldn't it be grama if she caused it to happen later?
If you're going back to Tosfos, you mean? Because you're preventing malacha from happening. You're not causing malacha to happen. The malacha is going, it's going to go on at 2, and now it's going to go on at 3. So this is the argument of Shlomo Zalman, which is easy to understand with Das Tosfos.
As opposed to viewing it as causing a new mice malacha.
Correct. Now, as I said, this is going to, they're going to be practical, which is how you, you base off your timer. Like if you take out the plug and then for 2 o'clock and you put it back in three, that would probably be usher. But now you're, that would, I mean, it would be grum at the very least when you put it to go on at three. But let's say you have the type of timer which just has knobs every 15 minutes, or you have, or you put in the timer for three and then you take out the one for two. So there you're just delaying malacha from happening. Okay. So as I said, so if you follow the Beis Yosef, probably wouldn't be grum. If you follow the Magen Avraham, I guess it's a little less clear. So that's one place. Another place where the sugya comes up, and where and perhaps you see Rishonim discussing a similar point, is the sugya of Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Zayin Beis, by Bit Kedemaya. The Gemara there says, "Haiman dekafse lachavrei ba'ashkel alei Bit Kedemaya, girei didehu v'chayev." But only if it's koach rishon, not if it's koach sheni. Same thing comes up by shchita and chulin daf tazayin min aleph. So what is koach rishon? What is koach sheni? What do these terms mean? So Rashi seems to, Rashi says, koach rishon kishapina lahem derech letzad ze mitzah miyad naflu alav davei kocho. Aval b'koach sheni shenichu racho k'tzas. V'la naflu amai miyad b'tzeisyo migidrosehem alav. El achar mikan halchu al hamakom shusham. Ramahu v'lo mikocho. Sounds like from Rashi that a delay makes a grama. Since nothing happens immediately, the water has to flow. Doesn't even seem to have to flow very far, but there's some delay from where you release the water to the person who's tied up and going to drown. So that is considered grama. That's all you need, a delay. Maybe, maybe. Very similar to the view of Tosfos by Kiboy, that if you, as long as there's a delay, so putting the barrels around the fire, a delay, it's grama. Removing fuel from the fire in a way that there's no immediate change in the size of the flame, delay, grama. Likewise, releasing the water where there's a delay before it reaches the person, koch sheni, grama, and I still can't kill the guy that way. But you would be pater at least. From Misa. The Rama rejects this. He thinks that that's not true either way. It's not going to, either whether it's close or far. First, I'll just tell you his critique of Rashi, then we'll see what he himself says. He quotes Rashi at the end, and he says that that's wrong. The Lav Milsi, the Kevan de Kamrin and the Gire Ninhu, Mali kimatu la'alter, mali kimatu la'achar zman. If it's gire, what difference does it make? I shoot a guy with an arrow. So he's 1 foot away, 500 feet away, 500 miles away. That's chayev. In this case, the water is my arrow, even if it's just hasar samoneya, but that's considered gire, that's the chadish of the Gemara. So what difference does it make if it's close, if it's far? That shouldn't be relevant. So what is the relevant factor? When is it koach rishon? When is it koach sheni? So the Rama says, two pshatim, he really thinks both of them are correct. One possibility is that the water is not yet at the dam when you open the dam, or you open the dam, but it doesn't go straight to the guy. First, it gets to some other obstacle, and then it gets bottled up, and then it overflows that obstacle and then gets to the guy. But the point is, there's a systematic type of grama, as opposed to, again, it's not totally in time, not totally in distance. There has to be some form, in some manner in which this is indirect. There's no, and therefore, that's the difference between koach rishon and koach sheni. Again, perhaps, we don't know that the Rama would say exactly like the Rush, but maybe similar to the Rush. Now, Ray Willig says from the Rav that Rav learned that this machlokas Tosos and Rash, very similar to the machlokas Rashi and Rama, and held that we should be choshesh for the view of Rash / Rama. And therefore, he felt that adjusting types of adjusting timers would not be grama. and would be considered mice biadayim. It is interesting, as we said before, the Rama does paskin like Tosfos. So I don't know exactly, you know, in terms of the Rav's objection, is he saying that, okay, but we should be, the Mishnah Berurah says you should be choshesh for Rush, is the pshat that he thought that the Rush was right. He thought that the Rama was a little different. I'm not exactly sure which one it is, but the point is that these adjusting a timer would basically be talui in these two machlokes, and therefore we have to be machmir on the shaila. And again, for those similar reasons, he objected to all these grama machines. And the basic way, again, the way I think Rabbi Willig says it over from the Rav, is that it's all part of one system. And anytime it's all part of one system, then it's no longer considered grama, regardless of whether there is an immediate reaction, immediate effect. And therefore, adjusting the timer, it's all part of the system. So it's also, it doesn't matter that nothing happens for an hour. It's part of the system. Changing the timer is the same thing as removing fuel from the fire. There's no immediate action, but the oil is part of the system. And likewise, the pins of the timer are part of the system, these grama machines and the like. So, you know, in terms of grama machines, everybody's going to say you should only use the grama machines, you know, when there's a real need. So, you know, if there's a need, so then it's much better without it. There's no kunz in making these types of things. You could still say, okay, but even if that's right, I may as well chaper and have to reshown him. On the other hand, there is also a concern that these things will be abused, since it doesn't, if you don't see it as Chol Shabbos, then you won't use it in a way that's, you'll use it in cases where it's not really warranted. So there's also a, I guess, public policy concern here as well. And in general, if you start, you know, relates to the topic of Shabbason and the like.
There's a big gap, I mean, between grama and Rabbana.
Yes. If it's grama, then you're right. But the question, his point is, if you hold like the Rush and the Rama, it's not grama. So you could have said, okay, well, but still it's a machlokas. So I don't tell me, well, if it's mutter, it's mutter anyway. And if not, you haven't changed, solved anything. I've solved something for Hathor Shonen, for the Rama. So that's why I'm adding an additional dimension, which is that there's a policy, you know, if you're going to say it's Aser and Mutter, Makom Piguach Nefesh, in other words, does, you know, let's say one of the places where they use these gramophones, apparently, frequently, is in the Israeli army. So the answer is that if you're going to, Israeli army is Piguach Nefesh, so use a regular phone. And if it's not Piguach Nefesh, then don't use anything. Why do you need to bother with a gramophone? So you'll say, okay, but still, I have to Ryan have to reshown him. Let's assume that the gramophones work for have to reshown him. But at the same time, that lends itself to a situation where you say, well, the gramophone, so I'm going to use it even in a case where it's not pikuach nefesh. So that's certainly an element that has to be considered here, along with shvisa. It's interesting, Rabbi Schechter also quotes the Rav as objecting to these things. He has a piece in Ikvei Atzon, and he quotes the Rav as having a different type of objection, which I didn't fully understand. I'll tell you what I think he said. It's a very beautiful piece. And it's all Siman Zion, and so strange because like I wrote notes on this and they disappeared. I think all the notes I wrote on this disappeared. Anyway, he basically said that. Let me just see if I can find. He basically said the following very interesting. Whoops. Okay. I don't remember how he said it. You remember how he says it?
Learns from the Nimuke Yosef's case of Isha Mishamukhinsa.
Right.
That the fire spreads very, very long and far. Mm-hmm. So it's considered my mice, so you see that a time delay doesn't make a difference.
Right. So first of all, that was interesting anyway, because you know, that too is a machlokus rishonim. A number of rishonim disagree with the Nimuke Yosef there. But there's a different something else he said that
when the kosher switch thing was happening, I don't remember how many years ago, mm-hmm. maybe there's like a chef to give one of his final shiurim or something, he spoke about this. So I thought he gave Bishul as an example. It's like, it is an understand saying, well, time delay, there's also time delay in Bishul. No one says that Bishul is grandma, how can you tell me the time delay?
We could talk about that, but there's an interesting question. Is that a good raya? For one thing, because in the case of Bishul, there is something that the process begins immediately. With these types of grumma machines. So I'll tell you what, and you could debate the extent to which, you know, this might be true, but the grumma machines, Rabbi Rosen, who's the author of the head of Machon Tzomet, has a number of articles on this. Rosen writes that all these grumma machines that he makes rely on four things. It's not just a time delay. He says this is in Tchumen, volume 34, on page 22-23. So he says grumma is not just defined when one act, for a grumma to be at least mutter, for something to qualify as grumma. Now, when grandma's mutter, we still didn't talk about yet. But for something to qualify as grandma, the three conditions have to be met, and these are met in his machines. Number one, that the person does a dead action, meaning to say that nothing on its own is accomplished immediately. There's nothing, it's like sof chamalavo, for example. Right? So right now it's night outside and I tie somebody up outside. Yeah, when the sun comes up, it's going to kill him. But right now it's night. So it's a dead action. That's the way he looks at it. Number two is that there's another force that operates independently of one's actions. Like in that case also of Sof Chamalava, where it's the sun. In a case of a timer, for example, so it's a dead action, right? In other words, when I remove the pin, let's say, so that's a dead action. Second of all, there's another force. It's not my force. It's not like I shot an arrow, but there's another force operating. Namely, in that case, it's the mechanical moving of the timer going around. And number three is that there's a time delay.
Well, the difference between the first two is to say it's not a dead action to shoot an arrow when there's no person there, but it would be...
Correct.
That would fulfill the second condition.
Yeah. So his machines have all three. Have a time delay, and a dead action, and also there's another force that operates independently.
He saw a case with the Psalms on Ramon by Zoraya. He thinks you pour water and it bounces off something. That's grandma, even though that clearly is your saying. Your force, which is working there, your water.
You're talking about the case of point water and what rolls into a shasarabim?
Okay, that's one, right? But we were talking about it goes into a sink, which then rolls into the dirt, also. We were talking about.
No, well, there it's not my action. There it's not my action. It's not my force. It's the force of gravity. That's his point. The independent force there is gravity.
Gravity is the independent force.
Right. So.
I guess we didn't understand the gravity issue.
But at least his machines. I once asked someone who uses one of the Shabbos wheelchairs if there's a difference. Does he notice there's a switch? So he says, it's like the difference between driving a Buick and a Porsche. Mm-hmm. In other words, you couldn't have that much of a delay, otherwise you'd like bounce into walls. but it's much less responsive. Now, whether that's sufficient, even if you accept this theory, is questionable. And we'll get to that's one Rav Asher Weiss's objection. Rabbi Rosen also argues in that piece, he said you would never use these devices during the week because it's annoying. So besides the fact that he thinks it's a grama, he thinks it's also a shinui. Because all these things, every one of these devices that he allows for are all cases where it's it would be annoying. You would never intentionally use it during the week. I got who would drive a Buick if you could drive a Porsche. Now it happens to be, I want to go back to the grub machines. We got off topic, but you know, there's in the Orcho Shabbos in that piece, I saw that he quotes from Shmuel Orbach, that Rishon Zalman Orbach didn't allow these types of things like the electric scooters. Even Rishon Zalman didn't allow to it. If you look at the Machon Somet article, they quote a story about how Shlomo Zalman, there was this woman that, you know, couldn't go to shul, and she had a lot of dignity because, you know, she didn't want other people to wheel her, and, you know, kavod abrios, and it really is a kavod abrios issue. I mean, some people don't mind other people wheeling them around, and for other people, their independence is really very important for them. And Shlomo Zalman went to Rabbi Rosen and told him, like, you need to make a machine for her, and he gave him guidance, you know, about how to do these grubbing machines and the like. Now, the two stories aren't so sir each other, because Shmuel Orbach could have said that the machine that they ended up making didn't meet the standards that Rosh Hashanah expected, but you do have, I guess, somewhat of a different impression about Rosh Hashanah's legacy in terms of these things.
But he's Rabbi Rosen accepting like the Ross explanation of the Rosh plus working with Pete also.
So a little of both, I think. A little of both, in other words. First of all, we could add that Lamaisa the Ramah Paskins like Tosfos. So that's normative halacha. Normative halacha is like Tosfos. And even if the Mishnah Berurah says you should be Machmir, but all these cases that you're going to use a grama machine are certainly all going to be shas adchaks. Nobody would advocate for using them in other cases. And then also to some degree, the Havana of Tosis and the Rush that we said is not so pashut. And maybe some of these, you could argue, work even according to the Rush. Though obviously that's going to be less clear.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
This is going back a little bit to Bidko de Maya. I didn't have a chance to ask the question at the time. Mm-hmm. We talked about Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni. Maybe I missed what you were saying, but I was under the impression Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni were similar to the question of you have Koch Gavra when you're doing Netil Sidayim without a cup, and you've used a faucet. When the first water comes out of the faucet, that's called Koch Gavra, because it comes out directly as a result of your
turning the faucet. Probably not.
After that, it's not Koch Gavra. So I thought Koch Rishon would be the water which comes out first when you open up the dam, and the water which is flowing along after that, that's Koch Sheni.
Yeah. Take a look at the Ramah, see what you think.
All right.
Okay. So, okay, so where were we? So there's another issue that comes up over here, which is, how do we pass it? So the Gemara has two examples of kibbutz, ram kibbutz, that's mutter kol chachamim. Number one, the Rabbanan in the Mishnah, that's Kli Charis Malei Mayim. And the second one is Rav Yudah Marav, that says Tal Shachas B'Haor, Mitzarech HaNosin HaLam Mayim Mitzarech Acher. Now the problem is that the Rif only paskins that first one. So the Rif says, says that you're allowed to put the barrels around the fire, but it doesn't sound like you're allowed to put the water on the talus that's on fire. So the Rishonim are all troubled. Why does the Rif only quote one of these and not the other? So there are a number of answers to this. So the Ramban writes This is the Ramban in a couple of places, but you could just, the easiest place is Chidushi Ramban over there in Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. And he writes that the reason why the Rif left out the case of Yudam Rav is because he thought that the Gemara in Kira, Daf Mem Zayin Mubeis, disagrees. Because the Gemara over there says that you're not allowed to put water, let's say, in a saucer to prevent sparks from falling into the water. And the reason why that's also according to the Chamim, Chamim said Ram Kiboy is mutter, still lo yitain l'so chomayim mipnei shum mechabe. So what did the Rif hold? So the Rif hold that putting water on the talus is the same thing as putting water in the cup. In both cases, it's the same thing. No saying mayim mamish umekarev guf hakiboy lehedya. The aser ledivrei akol. Rav Yehuda Marav, the shari hacha, savar himas nisin Rav Yosihi. So what's the pshat? That according to the chachamim, according to the Mishnah, assuming we pass on like that Mishnah, so putting water is kiboy mamish, right? No sin mayim shu makariv guf hakiboy lehedya v'oser ledivrei akol. That's the view of the Rif. So therefore, putting water in a talus is aser. I, the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda Marav learns the Mishnah earlier is going to leave to Rav Yossi, but we don't paskin that way. We paskin like the Pashtus of the Mishnah, like Ravashi over there. So the Rif basically then holds that there are these two categories. There's Mekarev Guf HaKiboy Lehedya, which is not considered grama. An example of that would be putting water on the talus. And then we have the other case of putting the barrels around. That's going to be okay. And the Ramban says that's Mavur and Yushalmi. It's not so clear what exactly the chiluk is. This is the way the Beis Yosef, the way Beis Yosef says that it depends if you're no sin mayim lehedya. In other words, if you put water in the place where the fire is heading, right, like on the talus, that's not grama. It's only grama when you put barrels of water in the place of the direction of the fire, whereby there's another step. The fire will have to burn the barrels will break, the breaking of the barrels will put out the water. So that's a good question. So the answer, I assume, and it's not so clear, the answer is that the...
It's already on that process. It doesn't have to hit a road bump in the middle.
Right. Moreover, you could add that the talus is the fuel.
Okay. So meaning that's why there's...
And now there's a barrels, right?
Yeah.
But either way, like you're saying, in other words, according to the Rif, and this is what makes these things much more complicated, is it's not going to be considered grama unless there's some type of barrier of some sort in between. The talus isn't considered a barrier. Now, the Ramban himself says that lulei harif, he wouldn't have learned this way. He would have thought that they're the same thing. They're both considered grama, but according to the Rif, it isn't. The Rashba gives a different answer. There's a Mem Zayin base. He says that Hasam, there's nothing mafsik between an itzotzos and a mayim. In other words, he assumes that we could pass them both against the Rif, right? Against the Rif. Air isn't considered a mafsik. So putting the water under the, you know, in a cup where the sparks are going to land, there's nothing mafsik, and therefore that's not grama. Whereas, like you said, the talus is grama. The Ran in Parakira says, "Lefi she'en amayim mechaben es hadolek elamon im shelo yispashet haor aval hahi de Parakira tfei migoren havei." So there's a difference. This brings us back to that taz that we talked about earlier. How does fire put out water in the case of the talus? So fire could put out water in one of two ways. One is it could douse the fire, right? Like in the case of the spark. Or the second is it just prevents the fire from spreading and the fire puts itself out. When you soak the talus in water, it's not like you're not putting water on a fire, and it's not like that fire puts on the water. It's just that once the talus is wet, it's not going to burn. So mimela, it stops on its own. That's why it's not grama. Tosos has a similar type of chiluk. He says two chilukim. He says that number one is in the case of the talus, it's not certain, and number two is that the water puts out the talus right away. The Rush just quotes the Rif. Presumably, it sounds like he agrees, but then the problem is that the Tor paskins the Gemara that says you're allowed to put water on the talus. So this is very troubling because strange for the Tor to paskin against the Rush without even discussing it, which is an issue that the Beis Yosef deals with. One way or the other, we're not going to go into this so much, but you see from this Machlokas Rishonim and then the further Machlokas in terms of how we paskin, an added level of complexity in terms of defining what grama is. There's another very fascinating source. We're not going to get into it too much now, but it's Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph Amud Beis, the Rabbeinu Hanano. Rabbeinu Hanano is troubled by what role Ruach plays over here. And the Magen Avraham cites this Rabbeinu Hanano. We're not going to get into it so much now, but it relates to Rabbeinu Hanan, the Magen Avraham's position, if you remember, that we talked about when we did Zorba Ruach, that using a mill for tochein would be considered grama. So that's the Rama in Resh Nun Beis, Sif Katan Chaf. So we'll leave that for now. So let's talk about some of the, one last question, and we'll get into the practical questions. So is grama a mutter, or is grama potter and only mutter b'makom hafseit? So as we said, the Gemara says grama shari, sounds like it's mutter. And the Magen Avraham, Taf Kuf Yud Dalet Sif Katan Zayin, writes that from the Rush that we quoted before, Beitza, Beis Yud Zayin, you see also that gram kibbo is mutter l'chatchila. Because if you over there, you see over there, the Rush asks from Tosfos about taking the oil off. And the fact that the Gemara says it's also, it's very clear from the whole Shaka Levitai of that Rush. And I'm very clear, maybe it could be Docha, but the Pashab Shad in that Rush is certainly that gram kibbo is mutter l'chatchila, not just mutter b'makom hafseit. However, the Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Yoel, who says, no, the grama is mutter b'makom hafsid. Doesn't mean it's mutter always. Normally, grama is aser midrabanan. And Rabbeinu Yoel says explicitly also, and Yantuf, it's also equally aser midrabanan. Grama is aser midrabanan. They're mutter b'makom hafsid. So how do we paskin? So in Simen Shin Lamedalad, Sif Chaf Beis, the Rama quotes Rabbeinu Yoel, and he says it's only mutter b'makom hafsid. Now, if you look at the Gra, what does the Gra say in that Rama? Nothing. So maybe that indicates, I don't know how much of the Muchach right is. We saw the Bir Alacha made that diak earlier, that the Rama, the Gra didn't think the din is right because there's no makor for it. The Gemara says it's Shari, it's Mutter. We said before, maybe you could say that, well, the other Hatter is only Mutter, Makom Hasid, so this, but Lamaisa, the Gemara says Shari, there's no evidence anywhere that there's an Issa Drabanan of Grama.
Same way back
in Tosus. Oh, so Tosus does sound like this, at least on Shabbos, it's an Issa Drabanan. Correct. There's another diuk that this might be the view of the Gra. At the beginning of Shin Yud Dalet, sounds like that Gra that we talked about before, about being Miyashiv, why it's mutter to throw, well, at least that would only be a Ryan Yantif, but you're allowed to throw the furniture into the fire. Why isn't that Stiras Kalim? Right? Remember, the Iranian brought a Raya from there. That so he said, it's grama. So, one second. But it's Mutter L'chatchila over there. So at least you see over there from
that grama. Well, I thought he said that the grama thought maybe he just wasn't Stira B'chlal, but that's not how you break Kalim.
No, because he said it's grama. But as he said, the reason why there's no Raya from there is because it's grama. So it has some ground kimoi. So you see that ground is matir l'chatchila. So that's another place where you see the gra is matir l'chatchila. Again, maybe that's not muchach for Shabbos. That might just be yantif. But also then you'd have to say, well, there should be a difference between Shabbos and Yantif. However, there might be a difference, and that might come out from the Shita of the Ramah. As we mentioned before, the Ramah, Hilchos Shabbos seems to be Machmir. However, the Ramah in Tav Kuf Yud Dalet Sif Gimel, as we mentioned already, says that you could be Makel on Gram Kibboy, and it doesn't sound like that's true only B'makom Hafseid. Take a look at the Shartzian over there in Hilchos Yantif, Tav Kuf Yud Dalet. He writes that the Mardechai is a Das Yachid, and that's also the view of the Taz. He has no Chaver B'Rishonim. Now, as you just pointed out, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, Lachora, because the Tosfos certainly implies that there's an Isser D'Rabbanan at the very least. And there might be some other Rishonim that hold this way as well. The Urcho Shabbos shows that this is the view of the Rashba, the Ra'ah, the Ramah, and others that say there is an Isser D'Rabbanan. So it's really not actually a Das Yachid. So Lamaisa, how do we paskin? So we paskin like the Rama, at least Ashkenazim, that we're only Matir Grama B'Makom Hefseid. But it's still true that it's a more Kal Shvus. First of all, most Shvus, and we're not Matir B'Makom Hefseid, not even Matir Ramir Lenachri, which is of the most Kal Shvus B'Makom Hefseid. And here we are Matir B'Makom Hefseid. The Gemara also implies it's much B'Makom Mitzvah, because the Gemara talks about it. Why is somebody who has shame kasav al-basaro? So it's mutter for them to do tefillah when they have a mitzvah to do tefillah because it's gram mechikas Hashem. Again, the simple reading of the Gemara over there is that gram is mutter b'chatchila, but at the very least, if you're going to say it's only mutter b'makom hefzit, so you'll say also it's mutter b'makom mitzvah.
You struggle a little bit with trying to understand how that fits into the case of gram as opposed to just. Like the fact that the water washes off ink, is that a grumma, or is that just like that's a perspiration?
It's a good question. You're saying I go into the water, so the Gemara says that if you rub it, that's biadayim, right?
Yeah.
But if it just happens on its own,
it's either a perspiration or a shemaskat, and I'm not going to say grumma.
The answer, I mean, the Gemara assumes it's grama because, because I'm not doing anything. The water is what's doing it. And maybe we'll say that it doesn't happen immediately. It happens with time. It's interesting also, that's actually a good point, which is that the gramas that we're matir over there in Shabbos are gramas that are mechavim, right? And that's a grama she'eno mechavim. Because Gemara says, there's no chatzitz over there because the ink is moist. And then you don't need it to get off. So therefore, it's interesting, Hara, which is why, anyway, maybe Grama b'machaveh is more chamor. Right? We're bringing a raya from Grama she'enu miskaveh to Grama that's machaveh. So the answer, I assume, is that since it's a creation, we treat it as machaveh. So why is it Grama? Because I'm not doing it on my own. It just happens. It happens on its own. Now, what does that tell me about grama? That's your question. That the fact that it happens on its own, or even, you know, that the water's doing it, that would be considered grama shows me, indicates that.
You go in the mikvah, you get wet. Like, that's not a grumma, the fact that you got wet, right? Okay, I don't know.
That's biadayim.
That's what you did, you got wet.
Okay. Right.
So that's what it means to get wet.
So the water, but the Gemara assumes, no, that since the water is doing the mechika, that's considered grumma.
What about leaving zero in your chatzir when it's going to rain? You don't call that a grumma.
What is leaving zero mean? What's my maisa?
Then...
Again, grama is only usher if you've done a maisa. So putting the seeds down and then later it's going to rain.
Going into the mikvah is a maisa.
Yeah, I agree. So you're saying.
Oh, yeah, but there that's grama, but this isn't grama.
Leaving zeronin.
Yeah, that's a chiyuv chatas.
Right, but that's the way you plant. I mean, if you weren't chayiv in that case.
No. You didn't dig anything up and put them in the ground. You just left them there.
But I'm saying every act of zoreh is that, no? Every act of zoreh is leaving seeds in the ground. Okay, sometimes it's a preparatory act, like making a hole. That's not the Zoraya.
Or
the Zoraya is the act of Zoraya is putting the seed on the ground.
Rebbe is assuming that even though the Gemara, let's say, is explicit by Zora, the Gemara never says that by Zoraya. So Rebbe's saying, no, obviously, by Zoraya, you're chayv the Grama.
I don't know if that's Grama. That is the act of Zoraya. The act of Zoraya is putting the seed in the ground. The effect is like, I mean, that gets to the Minchas Chinuch Rasha Shaila. That the act, the Isser of Zoraya is putting a seed in the ground.
So I don't understand how that's
not. That whether it sprouts, it sprouts. That is the act of Zoraya, putting seeds in the ground. In this case, the act of Mechika is erasing it. You could erase it with a sponge, you could erase it with your hand, you could erase it with water. Whereas going swimming is not an act of Mechika, it's going swimming. The Mela, it's erased. Now, I acknowledge I've not fully answered your question. I think it's a good question. But I don't think it's similar to that case. Here we see, for some reason, the Gemara seems to be looking at it in the following way, that the water, I'm putting myself in a situation where the water is acting upon the shame that's Kasav al-Basari. And so the water we see as an independent actor, let's imagine, you know, it's because the swishing of the water. So that's this thing that's happening on its own. The water's going swish, 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 swish. I put myself in a situation whereby the water now acts on that shame and erases it. And that's why it's grama.
Right.
And that's seems to be the way that the Gemara is looking at it. So, and, you know, I guess we could say also there's a time delay. It doesn't happen immediately. When I go right in, nothing seems to happen.
So I'm wondering, just for like, let's say for Mikvah Shabbos on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say somebody forgot. I know we said there's different kinds of goy, whatever. But let's say somebody has, you know, one of those sardi big tattoos they do at the weddings on their arm. So I don't know. So will they treat that as a grama or as a segregation? Interesting, right? It sounds like you're going to treat it as a grama.
Yeah, those won't come out without the...
Right. Those are probably too real.
Right.
I don't know. I guess, whatever.
I mean, the Gemara sounds... Unless... It's very hard to say. And this is one of the issues that I had with the Reish Shechter's article when he was Machalik in different Tchumen. Because the Gemara asks a Shaila... from Mechika to Shabbos. So clearly the Gemara assumes that they have the same din, and that's why there's a Stira and Rabbi Yossi and the like. The Gemara doesn't seem...
We did that also. We compared the Yadrama to the...
That's fine, right. But the Kaskash is on me, but this is from the Gemara.
Right.
But anyway, so the Gemara equated them. But anyway, so the point is that over there, again... Why it is interesting that the Gemara looked at it that way, but the Gemara seems to be looking at it as the water is an independent thing acting on its own. Maybe it's not immediate, and therefore I go ahead and I just go into the water, and Mimela, you know, after a couple of minutes, the water is going to start acting upon my shame and erase it. Yes.
The Rashi book says it's not a segregation. Yes, the question really just
takes the can down the
right. Right. Yeah.
You're saying it's like it's damaging because the was flat, so therefore it's like not a tiza.
Right.
Is it possible like if it wasn't stabbing, you didn't want to stay dry or like?
It sounds that it's not because that isn't that doesn't Gemara bring up that point? Okay. So so as I said, we do paskin l'chumra like the Rama, but it's a shvus hakal. It's motzi b'makom mitzvah. It's motzi b'makom hefsed. Certainly, one would think it's going to be motzi b'makom choli, right? We have a kal chomer, let's say, from Amir el-Nachri. For Mati, Amir el-Nachri, b'makom choli, certainly over here. Though, the Aruch HaShabbos is a deed from Magen Avraham, maybe not that way. I wasn't sure what to do with that. And we always do have to be careful because, you know, for shvus and name it down in Milsa L'Milsa, but Chazon Ish is makel explicitly for a grama for choli. Again, I think Sfardim are generally matir grama. One of the reasons, though, why at the same time, even on the one hand, we see here that it's very kal, right? And even the, though we paskin like that Mordechai, it's looked at as a das yachid by the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah and Plutzer, these kulas, we have a, I would say, a counter verse, which is that a lot of these things, a lot of times it's not clear whether it's grammar or not. And as we've seen, defining whether something grammar or is grammar or not is oftentimes quite complex. That's number one. Number two is, as we know, there are cases of grammar that you are chayiv. As everybody brought up, the sugya of Zohar Beruach, you're chayiv, even though it's grammar in terms of dinei nezikin, because melech machshavas aser Torah, at least if you're machaving. We discussed when we did Zohar, is that something that's limited to Zohar? Or perhaps there's a lot of evidence, and the Achronim generally assume, that it would apply to all malachos at the very least, if that's the normal way to do it. We saw that the way the Mishnah Berurah explains the Rambam by Tzeda, why if you have dogs running after it and then you jump into the thing and it causes the dogs to catch it, even though that's grama, would be grama, but nevertheless, it's chayiv. So, besides also the additional elements of Shvisa and the like. So grama, therefore, is a complex sugya. And especially once you start coming into Eishem Mishim Chitzav and other issues, it's complex. So far, that was Shabbos. Is there a basis to be Mechalik for Yantav? So we already saw that the Rama, even though Rishonim, at least Rabbeinu Yoel, who's the source for the Rama, is not Mechalik between Shabbos and Yantav. From the Rama itself, there might be a basis, because the Rama, even though in Shin La Medala, in Hilchos Shabbos, he is Mekel, is Machmir, but in Yantif, he seems to be Mekel. Yeah. So that being the case, now, the question is why? Well, you know, normally, we need a reason to be in Chag between Shabbos and Yantif. Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Shuvas Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, Simen Yud, Os Vav, says, the fact that we're Mechal on Yantif shows that Me'ikar Adin is really Mutter on Shabbos. And the Mordechai is the Epis of Chumrah, Mechatesi. Grad doesn't have Makor. So it's, we treat it as a Chumrah on Shabbos. Something we don't really think is also on Shabbos anyway. It's Mutter as Chumrah. So that's why you could be Mechal on Yantif. It's not like a fundamental difference.
The second of being yellow, the Ramah quoted as a Chumrah.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, there are other approaches, but it's not pashut to explain why. And the Magen Avraham, by the way, in Hilchos Yantif is machmir and Yantif, as we mentioned. So one, though, since the Rama is machalik, so it's based off of that there's this, the Star K has Yantif mode or Shabbos mode, but Shabbos mode, which can be used on Yantif, allows you to adjust the temperatures on your stove or your oven. Usually it's relevant for the oven on Yantif. And basically, when your oven is on Shabbos mode, so you press like a whole bunch of buttons and nothing happens immediately. But eventually the temperature will go up or go down. And Rabbi Heinemann thinks that's mutter. Why? Because the mice of the Rama in tough Kuf Yud Dalet Sif Gimel says Grama Yantif is mutter, and even though it's true the Magen Avraham is machmir, I should mention also Shlomo Zalman did not like using this heter regularly on Yantif. He thought that was schwer to occasionally to be matir Grama Yantif is one thing. Rabbi Heinemann thinks that's not the mainstream halacha. The mainstream halacha is like the Rama, and therefore Yantif is mutter l'chatchila. So basically, the way it works is that there's a random time delay feature. So you press keys on a keypad, nothing happens when you do that. Instead, the oven will randomly check the settings and adjust the temperature accordingly. There is an interval of between 15 and 25 seconds before the heating element is activated in such specially modified ovens. And therefore, Rav Heinemann thinks it's mutter to use on Yantif.
So like non-electric keypad they have?
No, it's the regular buttons that you use on your oven, but when it's on, if you've ever seen the Shabbos modes, so instead of like saying what temperature it is, there's like two C's. So nothing, again, he has engineers that designed this for him, but you don't see anything happening immediately.
Well, why let him press the button?
Because why not? It's only could change the temperature. All day grama.
Uh-huh.
Beeps, no nothing, 000, nothing on the screen. It's only noticed 10 to 15 seconds later, or randomly. But
how do we know that Tosis holds that time delay is a reason to call it Grumman?
Well, why? What? How else do you explain Tosos? Why is it that siphoning fuel, if you don't affect the size of the flame, is grammar?
Because you.
He says the lashon miyad. Also, he says the issue is that he says the word miyad.
So, Rabbi Heinemann's psak, I think, was not accepted by most poskim. And when it came out, Rav Yashiv opposed it, Rav Sternbach, Rav Vosner, Rav Velsky, Rav Feigl Cohen, Rav Willig, they all didn't like it. Certainly, if you hold to the Rav's theory, it's not even Grama. But even if you didn't hold to the Rav's theory and you thought it was Grama, they opposed it for various reasons. I think for the most part, that's the more accepted.
Why do you call it Shabbos mode?
Well, you need it for Shabbos mode to be able to use the oven on Shabbos, not without adjusting it. In other words, there's two varts. Well, if I want to keep my oven on Shabbos, I can use Shabbos mode. That's okay. I'm not going to adjust the flame.
Oh, I see.
And the main thing for Shabbos mode, there's a couple of things, but one reason is, right, you have to check each one. There are various different ways. But, like, we have... you might want to, let's say, even if you, let's say, have it on the timer to go off before you open the oven, if you don't have it on Shabbos mode, the light will go on when you open the oven, all new ovens. So
it turns off all those.
So, right. So Shabbos mode is necessary to use it on Shabbos. And then if it's on Shabbos mode, in addition, you could also, according to Rabbi Heinemann, change the temperature using this thing. Mm-hmm. So again, you might say I'm going to use Shabbos mode for Shabbos and use Shabbos mode for Yontif, but not actually use the Shabbos mode to change
the temperature. If somebody buying it saying, "Oh, Shabbos mode, I could change the temperature."
Right. So if you actually read the directions or read Rabbi Heinemann the Star Kit, you won't make those mistakes. They make it very clear. But yes, if you
even though this is all three Rabbi Rosen's. Rama.
Yeah, but still, Aser, the Rama says Grama's Aser Shabbos.
But
is
Yontif
yeah. Why would you object?
Right.
Why? So, first of all, I think because, well, I mean, that's what Rabbi Heinemann says. It's the Rama's mouth here. So, first of all, the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't rely on it. A. B, according to the Rav, it's not Grama. C, many poskim object to this whole idea of making Grama machines. Even if they are grandma, and even if you think that.
The first one is Mishnah Berurah, you're saying on Yontif says don't rely on the Ramah?
Yes. Okay. She's relying on the Mechaber, the Ramah, the Magen Avraham is Machmir, and the like. This comes up also by Sof, another Sogyas, as we mentioned already, Sof Chama Lavo. So the Gemara says that Sof Chama Lavo on Sanhedrin, Ein Zayin, Amud Aleph, is, again, what's that case? Kafso B'chamo Meis, Yerchayev. Sof Chama Lavo, Potter. Why? Rashi says, Kolomem Haisa Sham Chama B'shasha Kafso. Aval Sof Lavo Kan, Yer Potter, Shalohaya Horeg Mizumen Lariga V'gramahu, V'ein Dino Masel Vestin Ela L'shamayim. So what does that teach you? The Chazon Ish said, based off this is Lamed Ches Oz Dalad. He said you could, again, with many other, because it was a very big Shasad Chak, for the milking machines. So you could go ahead, if you put basically a timer. If you put the milking machines on, the cow, and then 10 minutes later the timer goes on, that's equivalent to Sof Chama Lavo. And b'shas adchak, one can be lenient. That would be presumably the same thing as, probably the same thing as adjusting a timer, though you could try to be machalik. And as we mentioned, the Rav opposed this. The Rav's approach was basically that he distinguished between the case of a timer, where the electricity is operational when you perform the action, and the case of indirectly putting it out the fire, because sof cham alavo. In other words, the Rav, if you look at Rav Shachter's piece, the way, and this is, again, this is what I didn't really understand, but this is what Rav Shachter says, that sof cham alavo, since there it's plugged in already, you adjust the timer, or the like, or the Chazanish's case, but I'll just take the case of adjusting the timer. So in the case, in those cases, the electricity is operational when we perform the action. Whereas when you extinguish the fire by the barrels, or sof cham alavo, the force is not present when you act. That's basically his argument, the way Rav Shechter presents the Rav. What's difficult to understand that is the natural forces that are moving the fire, and this is the point you made, are already here, right? Or the natural forces that are moving the sun are already here. They're just not around. Okay, I don't see the sun yet, but there's a natural force bringing it up. Why is that natural force different than electricity? In other words, why is the timer, the electric force in the timer causing it to go tick, 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 and it's eventually going to be here, different than the sun? The Rav was trying to argue, according to Rav Shechter, that there's a difference. And that's a very dachistic achilak. The timers are worse. I don't know. Is it because I created the force? But that's not true when one harnesses the natural. Anyway, but that's sort of what Rav Shechter says. The Rav Moshe also seems to be machmir by the timer shailas. That's in Chela Gimelson and Mem Zion. He seems to be very machmir. Besides the muksa issues, he says, he thinks it might even be an Isser Deraisa, but it's not clear why. But it could be that Rav Moshe held the same thing as the Rav, maybe, you know, the Rush and the like. All right, we're out of time. I want to thank you guys for learning with me this year. It's really, really been tremendous. And
Daddy!
and...